I am going to tell you that I'm going to talk to you today about gratitude. And this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. Super passionate about this idea of gratitude. But before I get started on the sermon today, I would like to first give a little shout out to my husband, because I'm not sure if any of you have ever written a sermon before. But it's a lot more challenging than I expected it would be. And not because I'm nervous about being in front of people. I've been a teacher for about 13 years now, so I'm used to being in front of people. I'm used to communicating. But the idea of putting together a sermon where you don't want it to be you, you want it to be the Holy Spirit, and you want to be working with the Word of the Lord, and trying to get all of that to meld together is pretty challenging. So I just want to say thank you, Miles, for always making it look so easy, and for also just listening to the Lord and allowing him to speak through you to us. So I, again, want to just talk to you a little bit about gratitude. When Miles asked me to do this, well, I will tell you, Miles has been asking me to preach for a long time. And every time he asks me, I say, absolutely not. And here we are today. But when he asked me to speak about gratitude, it was hard to say no to that because it's something that I value and love so much. And it just so happens that this Sunday is about 4 days away from my favorite holiday. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday for lots of reasons. One reason is because it's an excuse to eat a lot of food, and I love food. It's also a reason to get together with your family and pretend that they don't get on your nerves and enjoy or try to enjoy that. But my favorite reason is because it is a national holiday set aside to give thanks. Isn't that pretty cool that in America we have this day where most people get the day off? And the idea is to come together and be grateful for the gifts that we have. And I think that is really pretty special. Now, what I'm starting to get frustrated with is that we have, quote unquote, Americanized this holiday by choosing to make it another attempt at spending as much money as possible. So it used to be that the day after Thanksgiving, right after we were done being grateful, we would go out and spend money on things that we don't need. But now they are opening the stores on Thanksgiving Day. So right after you get done saying, thank you, God, or whoever they pray to, for all that I have, oh, let's go out and buy more. And that just kind of rubs me the wrong way. But this sermon is not about trying to get you to stop shopping. Okay, so this is not to guilt trip you into staying home all day Thanksgiving and the day after. This is really about remembering that gratitude shouldn't just happen once a year. Gratitude is something that we need to come back to over and over and over. I also believe that gratitude is good for your mind, body, and spirit. And so today I'm going to try to convince you of that. When I think about the word gratitude, something really neat happens inside me. My body starts to feel warm, and I feel like this calming presence, and I feel sort of settled. And that's what happens when I just hear the word gratitude. Not even having started my practice, not even having saying thank you yet for anything, I just start to feel a settledness and a peace. And I think that's pretty neat. And I hope that by the end of this, you can start to associate that calming with the idea of gratitude. One thing that you should know about me as we begin this sermon is that I am a rule follower. I know, it's kind of silly, right? You would never expect that from Miles's wife. But I am a rule follower, and I don't follow rules just to follow rules, though. Okay? I have to know why it's a rule to know whether or not I should follow it all the way. And so when I hear a rule, I start digging into it. So, you know, why is that the rule? Why am I only going 65 miles per hour on the highway? And why am I not allowed to go past this little roped off area when we're hiking? So I just want to know a little bit more. I ask a lot of questions. I like to find out more information. So why is going to be the question that we keep coming back to. So let's take you to the first rule All right, about gratitude. In Colossians 3:15 through 17, it says, "Let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Three times. Three times this passage reminds us to be thankful. So I'm going to follow that rule. But before I follow it, I'm going to ask why. Why do we need to be thankful? And I think there's a few different reasons. The first reason is because I believe that gratitude and thanksgiving is the language of heaven. If you stop and you think about what heaven is going to be like, what do we picture? We already know that there's no sadness in heaven. We know that nobody is sick. There probably aren't going to be any Debbie Downers up there, right? So what's left? Gratitude. Worship. We will be in heaven all day, every day, worshiping the Lord who has brought us home. And isn't gratitude just a simple form of worship? So I think that's one of the reasons that the Lord calls us to be grateful. Another reason we find in the book of Thessalonians. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." How many times have you said, "I just want to be in God's will"? Constantly searching, what is God's will? Where does he want me? And you know, I know that God's will is to take care of us and prepare us for what's coming next. But what if right now, the part of his will that we're supposed to be in is just being grateful for wherever you are? Just taking a moment and thanking him for where you are right now. But again, why is it God's will? Right? And this is what's so beautiful about Scripture. It just leads us deeper and deeper and deeper into why we need to do and live the way that he's called us. So I think that part of the reason that it's his will is because it's good for our hearts. If you look at Luke 6:43-45, it says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." I love that verse. Because that tells me that whatever's coming out of a person's mouth is what their heart is full of. And so if you're speaking with kindness and thanksgiving and love and encouragement, that's what you've planted in your heart. When we run into those people who are speaking with grumpy words and hate and they're just trying to pick at things, it makes me sad for their heart. Because I wonder what seeds have been planted there. So put seeds of gratitude in your heart. In Proverbs 16:23-24, we read, "The heart of a wise person instructs his mouth. It adds learning to his speech. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, and health to the body." Pleasant words are health to the body. Probably because you're putting them in your heart, right? So that's really important to me because I think about our bodies. And we're told that when we get to heaven, we get a new body. There's no sickness in heaven. So we don't need to worry about health to the body when we get to heaven. We need to worry about that here while we're on earth. And, you know, it gets me thinking because when I was younger, I used to think that the Bible was a set of rules that we needed to read and follow in order to get into heaven. But the older I get, the more I wonder if maybe the Bible is a gift to us to help us have a fuller, richer, more beautiful life here on earth. to protect life here. I know that we hear all the time, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. And yeah, that's going to be amazing. But I don't think we're supposed to rush through life down here being angry and busy and not worrying about our health and our life and the people that we love. We're supposed to enjoy this life. This is a gift. And so I think that the Lord knows that these pleasant words bring health to our body. And then again, in Proverbs 4:23, we're reminded to guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Your heart is the source of life, but not in heaven. Eternal life is found through Christ Jesus. So we don't need to worry about that in heaven. We need to worry about that here. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Plant seeds of gratitude and kindness, and you're going to see a whole different life. Your heart's going to be protected, and also your body and your minds. So while you chew on that for a little bit, I'm going to switch gears. I want to talk to you a little bit about health and psychology and neuroscience. So neuroscience, I'm just going to give this little shout out. I'm a super nerd about all things, but I love learning about the body. When Miles preached about core values a couple weeks back, and I started to do some meditation on what my core values are, health and wellness is very critical to who I am. And so that just makes sense that I study up on psychology and neuroscience because I'm fascinated by it. So as scientists begin to study gratitude and how it impacts the body, this is a short list of what they found. When you practice gratitude, depression decreases. Your sleep improves, your blood pressure lowers. Your metabolism and hunger can start to regulate. You respond better to stress and you recover faster. It increases happiness. You experience fewer aches and pains and you feel healthier overall. And that's not an exhaustive list. That's just the one that kept coming up over and over and over and over as I was doing my research. And then this last one I added, but it's also true. It may increase your generosity. Because when we think about gratitude, we're being thankful for those things that people have given to us, that the Lord has given to us. And out of all of that gratitude, don't we want to give back? So your generosity is going to improve, and probably your social circle. Right? Because who doesn't want to be around grateful people? So as we continue thinking about these health things, I want to talk to you a little bit about the brain since I am so excited about it. And so this gets a little convoluted, so just follow along as best as you can. So there are all these different areas in the brain, and these are the five main areas. We have the frontal lobe. We have the parietal lobe, which is located kind of in the middle here. We have the occipital lobe that is in the back, the temporal lobes right over the ears, and then the brainstem down the back here. And they're each responsible for very different parts. The frontal lobe, that's going to be your emotions, your speech patterns, creativity. The parietal lobe is all about the senses, so feeling, touch, taste, and so on. The occipital lobe is responsible for your vision. It goes straight through. The temporal lobes right here are for hearing and memories. And then the brainstem has to do with all of the basic functions of life. So swallowing, heart rate, consciousness, breathing, those things that we don't have to think about. The brain is so cool. It just does it on its own. I love that. So the neat thing is that they're all always working, right? And I'm certainly not an expert on this, so there's a lot that I don't know. But they're all always working, responsible for their own things. But when you practice gratitude, areas in the brain light up at the same time. So it all kind of comes together. I've found this from What the Brain Reveals About Gratitude, an article online. The regions associated with gratitude are part of the neural networks that light up when we socialize and experience pleasure. These regions are also heavily connected to the parts of the brain that control basic emotion regulation, such as heart rate and arousal levels, and are associated with stress relief and thus pain reduction. This is so fascinating to me because I have a feeling that the same God who knit us together in our mother's wombs and knows the number of hairs on your head probably knew that when we practiced gratitude, our bodies would be healthier. My guess is this isn't just coincidence. I don't believe that God works in coincidences. I think he does these things on purpose. And so all of that gratitude impacts your brain, and it starts to impact the rest of your body. So the neuroscience comes in here. If you're not a person who's wired, right, we use that word a lot, wired for gratitude, or it's not something that you practice all the time, the good news is you can fix that, all right? So neuroscience, it's the whole study of the brain and the nervous system. The brain has this ability to create new pathways, and it's called neuroplasticity. And it's the brain's ability to continually create new neural networks, reshape existing ones, and eliminate networks that are no longer used to changes in behavior, environment, and neural processes. I know these are big words, but just stick with me. Basically, what that means is even if you're not practicing it now, you can change your brain so that it becomes easier to practice. And things that you used to have to do in the past, those start to become fuzzy because we don't need those anymore. I think that is pretty fascinating. From the book, Hardwiring Happiness, we find out that the brain takes its shape from what the mind rests upon. So the more you spend your time looking at something or doing something, the more familiar that's going to be. And pretty soon it's going to be second nature, right? So the picture of the violinist there is up there as a reminder for me. There was a study done in London. They were studying the brains, and they took specifically some violinists. They started studying their brains, and they found out that the part of the brain that has to do with the motor dexterity of the left hand and fingers was more developed in people who play the violin than people who do not. Because what happens is it keeps laying the groundwork over and over and over and over. And that space starts to become more developed. And those little lines, those pathways become more indented. So if you want a visual of this, you know, when you were younger and you would trace, I don't know, something like maybe a flower, you trace it once and then you trace it twice and then you trace it three times. Eventually that tracing line becomes a little area where your pencil just falls back into. That's the same thing that happens in your brain. The more you practice something, the easier it is to get there over time. So when we say this idea of, I'm not wired that way, okay, sure, not right now, but you can be. Oftentimes we hear people who will say, I'm not a math person, I can't do that. Or I'm not really very good at technology. And I want to just kind of bring it back to, again, a little bit of science. There's this idea of the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. And all of us fall into one of those two categories. A fixed mindset says, I'm not good at that. I will never be good at that. And a growth mindset says, huh, I've never tried that before. I'm not sure how I'll do, but I can get better at it. And so you get to make the decision of which mindset you want to have. And the more you come back to it, the more you develop those skills and those habits. And then what's really cool is that gratitude is tied to your happiness. Because the more you practice gratitude, the happier you are. People used to think that people who were happy were grateful. They would say, oh, when I get that raise, then I'll be grateful. Then I'll be happy. When I get that wife, when I get a baby, when I get this, then I can be happy. And what we've discovered, what the scientists have discovered, is that it's grateful people who are actually the happiest. We realize that what we have is enough, and we're appreciative of that. So you can control your happiness. And I think that that's amazing. But here's the thing that I think happens sometimes in churches when we start talking about gratitude, people start to fall into the same thing over and over. Oh, I'm really grateful for my health. I'm grateful for safety or travel mercies. And, you know, we fall into these things that happen over and over. I'm very grateful that Jesus died on the cross. And here's the thing. Yes, 100% you need to be grateful for those things because they're big and they're beautiful. But if we don't change it up now and then, it becomes white noise. In the same way that every time someone that you love leaves the house, you say, bye, I love you. It doesn't stick as much. And so we need to come back to that and figure out a new way to be grateful for that. A new way to sit and appreciate it. And so when you're thinking about things that you're grateful for, I don't want you to forget about raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Right? Remember the Sound of Music? What are a few of your favorite things? Come back to that over and over. The childlike wonder you see in kids' eyes. Laughing babies. The importance of a bumblebee. You can be grateful for these things because without those things, a lot is missing. What flowers do you plant in your garden? And maybe you plant them because they're drought resistant. I don't know. But then isn't it cool to step back and say, oh my gosh, California has been in a drought for X amount of years, but we still can grow everything here. That's amazing. That is amazing. So stop and be grateful for that. And that's not where it ends. Then you need to tell people about it. In Philippians, we are told, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You guys, that is so cool. You are getting permission to celebrate the good in your life. I think that's beautiful. When we think back to the story of the prodigal son, you know, one son leaves, and when he comes back, the father puts a coat on him and a ring on his finger, and they have a party, and it's awesome, except the older brother is really upset about this. And he says, I can't believe you didn't throw a party for me. And do you know what the father figure, the God figure says in that story? He says, you have always been with me. All I have is yours. We are already at the party, you guys. We're already there. Everything the Lord has is ours. How can we not be grateful? How can we not worship the Lord? When we know that the power of the Holy Spirit lives on us and this beautiful world was created for us. We have the prize at the end. You know, this isn't the Titanic. It doesn't sink at the end. We go to heaven. We get the good news. So how can we not celebrate that? We need to live in such a way that we are excited and people know where that joy and that gratitude come from. Now look, I'm not naive. I know that there are hard things going on in the world and there are sad things that go on in the world. I get it. And there's a time for lament. There's a time to express empathy with the sadness. But I think overall we need to have this general appreciation of gratitude. And this book that I'm reading called Blue Mind, it actually is about the brain and happiness. This is what they say. Our brains are wired to be Teflon for the positive and Velcro for the negative. To ensure our survival, we notice and react more strongly to negative experiences than to positive ones, because otherwise we'd lackadaisically stroll our way to extinction. However, if positive experiences are intense enough, novel enough, occur often enough, or if we direct our focused attention to them long enough, they will strengthen the brain's happiness neural pathways and therefore make it easier for us to feel positive emotions. Isn't that cool? We must return to gratitude over and over. And look, you guys, we get bonus points. In Blue Mind, they say that the research shows that the amount of happiness we experience spreads outward. affecting not just the people we know, but also the friends of their friends. Or 3 degrees of the famous 6 degrees of separation. You guys, our happiness creates a ripple effect. I kind of think Jesus knew what he was doing, right? So when we're happy and we experience that gratitude, my happiness impacts Jim, and then it impacts the people that Jim knows that I don't know. And then Jim's happiness affects those people, and then one person beyond that, and it just keeps going. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We can change the world by practicing gratitude and by being happy. I love it. So here's the deal. Here's what gratitude isn't. Gratitude isn't realizing that other people are worse off than you. That's called comparison, and that will steal your joy. So let's not get into that whole thing, okay? Well, at least I'm not like so-and-so who ended up here. No. We're not doing that. Gratitude also isn't just good manners. It's not just saying thank you. That's called being a good human being. Please do that anyway, okay? And gratitude isn't just a list of things that you rattle off only to return to your grumpy ways. Okay, remember, it's what's in the heart. What gratitude is, it's a practice, you guys. It's an opportunity to come back to the spirit of thanksgiving over and over and over again. It's looking for new blessings every day. Search for something out of the ordinary. Don't just notice what you have. You need to show appreciation for it. It's a way of life. Gratitude is our way to make known the little gifts given to us every day. In Psalm 69:30, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Guys, God is as big as he's ever going to be. We don't make him any bigger. He's huge. But what thanksgiving does is it makes God bigger in our lives. And it continuously points back to him. I am happy because of this. I am grateful because of this. And we set the stage for the people around us to experience our God, because he's so big they can't get around him. Right? So they're going to run into him no matter what. So what? Right? What does all this brain stuff have to do? I just want to remind you that what gratitude does is it turns everything into enough. I have enough money. I have a good enough home. I have a good enough family. I'm satisfied right where I am. It aligns us with God's will. It protects our heart. It allows us to experience pure joy. Brings our body back into alignment, designed the way that God made it. It magnifies the Lord and turns our eyes back to him, and it impacts the world around us and can cause a ripple effect. It's pretty strong, isn't it? So where do you start? There are a couple different ways to practice gratitude. The first you can do is a gratitude journal. Find a notebook. And they say 3 is the magic number. So writing down daily 3 things for which you're grateful. And again, they can't be the same thing every day. Expand your horizons. For the first 15 days, maybe you'll say the things that are obvious. But then start looking for other things, right? Show appreciation. Don't just make a list. Write letters of thanksgiving or emails of thanksgiving, even if you don't send them. Although I think you should. The other option is meditation. And I know that sometimes meditation has this weird feeling about it. But I'll tell you, meditation is actually a spiritual discipline. It was designed for us to hear from the Lord. So don't let what other people in other countries do, don't let that freak you out. Meditation is our way to sit in silence so that we can hear from the Lord. Prayer is our conversation with God. Meditation is his conversation to us. So just settling in and being silent. And then be thankful for a bunch of different things, the unexpected things, tiny actions, creatures, details, the joy that others are experiencing, new pleasures every day. For example, these little guys. So I want to tell you a little story. Last year, Miles and I came out from the Pregnancy Help Center dinner, and the entire parking lot was covered with snails, and it was the coolest thing I ever saw, because this does not happen in Ohio. And they were everywhere, and I was so excited that we got down on the ground and we took pictures of them because it was so cool. And this lady came out, and I was so overjoyed that I couldn't keep it to myself. I was rejoicing. And I said, "Look at all these snails." And do you know what she said? "Yeah, they sucked a step on." She sapped my joy. You guys, do not be the grumpy people, okay? If somebody's experiencing joy, just take a second to say, "That's nice, honey. I don't care, but don't be grumpy about it, all right?" But this is what I'm talking about. I know that you guys see snails all the time, and you might think they're gross. You don't have to get excited about snails. I do, because I think that's really neat, that the Lord created something that lives in a seashell. That's cool. So find something that you think is cool, and start appreciating that. Look at it in a new way. A couple months ago, Miles gave us an orange. Do you remember this sermon? And he said, "Go home and sit with that orange. Smell it, peel it, listen to it. Use all your senses to enjoy that orange." You guys, isn't it amazing that food to sustain our lives grows on trees in your backyard? I mean, I know that it may seem like I'm naive, but these are the things that help to create joy in your life over and over. So finally, I want to read the second part of that Philippians passage. And it says, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Can you find something this week that matches that list? Or better yet, every day this week, to sit with that and let it soak in. So I'm going to have you close your eyes for a second. And we're all just going to take a deep breath. So take a deep breath in through the nose and sigh it out the mouth. Do it again. Inhale and sigh. While your eyes are closed, I want you to think of someone for whom you are very grateful. Picture his or her face. And think about what specifically you are grateful for with that person. Is it their kindness? Is it their ability to be there every time you need them? Maybe it's that they immediately text you back. Whatever it is, spend a minute appreciating them and that characteristic. Now say a small prayer or blessing for that person. And then take another deep breath to seal in that moment of gratitude. And then slowly blink open your eyes. I'm going to have my lovely assistant Miles pass out a thank you card to all of you. You should have gotten a pen when you walked in. I want you to spend the next 5 minutes writing a thank you card to someone. It can be the person that you just pictured. Maybe it's someone that you don't necessarily like, but let me tell you, those people also have great characteristics. So maybe you go outside your comfort zone and you write them a thank you card. Maybe that's what you need to build the bridge back to reconciliation. But I'm going to give you a few minutes to write something, and then I think that you should probably mail it to them. This is how we start the ripple effect for gratitude. So I'm going to give you a few minutes here, then I'll pray, and I'll have the worship team come back up in about 5 minutes.